Let me read to you from John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning of verse 22. It's a longer passage for me to read. This is a text that we examined partially this past Wednesday night. And it was one of those studies where we were honestly studying the Word of God together and seeing that sometimes it's mysterious. Sometimes it speaks of things that it's not really given us context to understand, and it's just there. And studies like that are wonderful because we're working together to understand, ask questions as we go, and we don't always have all of the answers, and then we move further and further on. And I love those studies, but a lot of times after we have those studies, I'm like, okay, let's take what we saw clearly out of that and just rest in it. That's what I wanted to do today. From John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 22. So they said to him, to John the Baptist, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Verse 24, now they had been sent from the Pharisees. Verse 25, they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding of your word today to encourage us, to cause us to see you rightly, to cause us to glorify your Son for who he is. In his name, amen. This passage, as I mentioned, and we studied on Wednesday night, is mysterious in that all of a sudden in John's Gospel, chapter 1, John presents another John, John the Baptist, doing something that we have zero context for. He's baptizing. And this is being well known. And the Jews in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites. We discussed the interesting aspect of that on Wednesday night. They sent priests and Levites to John to say, "What is it you're doing, and on what authority do you have to do it? What is this?" We saw that there was this expectation just running rampant through those days that what the prophets had been foretelling was about to happen. Baptism is all of a sudden presented here without being described in the Old Testament or even clearly explained in the Gospels themselves. And so that's left us, from a theological standpoint, to try to understand what John was doing and how his baptism relates to what we would call baptism today, and how much of it was the same, how much of it was different, and all of those sorts of things. And again, we talked about that Wednesday night. I'll just say this. What John was doing is not what we call believer's baptism today. Now, that's often, we're like, okay, we're good with that. And then we just kind of draw this line like, okay, so it was something different. Move on. My time with us this morning is to say, don't run too quickly away from this. It was a temporary activity prescribed by God for a time. Then, after Jesus suffered as the propitiation for our sins, after he rose again from the dead, the Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, the gospel was first proclaimed, and from that point on, what we know today as believers' baptism was practiced. So again, we often see what John was doing, John the Baptist was doing, was a precursor to this, and we often call it, as we rightly should call it, a baptism of repentance, as we see described in the Scriptures. And I think many times, that's at least where in my mind, I've been like, okay, great. So John was doing a baptism of repentance, and that makes full sense, because he was baptizing Israelites, those who thought that they were the descendants of Abraham, who thought they were those who would be the remnant blessed by what the prophets had said by the coming Christ, the Davidic king. And yet John, in this baptism of repentance, was calling even the Israelites to realize, no, it's you're not righteous of your own. All true. Absolutely true stuff. But during our study Wednesday night, I was struck by the ways in which the text spoke of elements of John's baptism and the story around John's baptism that should not be left behind as just part of a temporary activity. Something that we today can rejoice even as we see baptisms today and many more to come by God's grace. So I've got four key points as presented in these passages about John's baptism and the baptism that John did upon Jesus. Number one, John's baptism was part of his ministry to be a herald of the coming of the Lord. Look there in verse 23. He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." This is exactly what we studied in Isaiah 40 a few months ago as Tim was leading us through it. That in the context of the prophets and the prophet Isaiah himself speaking of the hopelessness, the doom, the judgment that's rightly deserved by the nation of Israel, yet there being a remnant. Yet there being a remnant by the Lord himself who would come and would be despised, who would be forsaken, who would be unbearable to human eye and even of those whom the Lord himself came to. John says, this time has come. I am the one who would come according to the Holy Scriptures, according to the prophets, to say, make way for the Lord. The kingdom of God is at hand. The Lord is about to be before you. And you need to recognize this moment of time. Yes, there was a flurry of expectation going on all around. There was all of the things that we see as we read the Gospels. There was this very thing where the Jews at Jerusalem sent Levites and priests to John to say, what is this? Who are you? On what authority are you doing this? And as we would go on to see throughout the Gospels, they didn't believe it. And yet John's saying, I am the one who is declaring to you, the Lord is indeed before you. I am not the Christ, he says. I am the one saying the Christ is coming. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says this. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. And dear believer, you are the ones in this text that it is saying they wanted to see this salvation that is yours. How these blessings are yours. It was revealed to them they were not serving themselves, but you. In things which have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which even angels long to look and to examine. John was saying, I am the voice in the wilderness crying out, make straight the way of the Lord. He was saying that. And now we, dear friends, is it not incumbent upon us to also say, the Lord, not is coming, the Lord has come. Just as John was saying and preparing the way for the Lord, we today, and even through baptisms today, can say we're focused upon the same thing, the coming of the Christ, the coming of Lord Jesus, and He has come. You see it also in verse 31. I myself did not know him, John says. But for this purpose, I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. What a key verse to understanding the baptism of John. And one that, as I looked through commentaries and theologies and things like that to try to understand this and to make sure that I was teaching the right way, never really came up. Okay, never came up. This is where John says, this is why I am doing this strange thing. This thing quite out of context. Why? Verse 31 says, I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water. What purpose? That Jesus, the Christ, would be revealed to Israel. That's key to understanding what John was doing and why this is happening very early in the Gospels here. He was doing it to show them Jesus. Dear friends, again today, shouldn't our baptisms not so much be about us, although it's a glorious thing, not be just about what God has done in our life, which it is a glorious thing that He has done in our life, but that we are baptizing still today to tell others in the world around us, Jesus Christ is Lord. And He has done something wonderful for us. Second, simple truth we can all take away from this. We see the humility that we are to have before the Lord in this passage. We talked a little bit about this Wednesday night, but I want to make sure we share this with everyone. You see it in verse 26. John answered the Levites and the priests that were asking him these questions. Verse 26. John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Okay, so we see humility there. And we think, okay, there's humility even for us here in this passage as we think about this. Okay, yep, I guess I'm not worthy to untie or unloose the strap of his sandal as well. Great. A little context is going to help drive this home even deeper. When a rabbi was teaching his students, the students were, as we might use today, in an apprentice state before their teacher. They were not of rank. They were not qualified to be teachers themselves. And as part of coming before and coming underneath teachers, they would say, I am taking a position lower than the teacher, just as an apprentice takes a position lower than the skilled workman. And so a student before a master would say, I am taking a position lower than you, and I will learn from you, but I will also serve you. In this position lower than who you are, I will humble myself, and I will do things that only a servant would do as part of my position as a student underneath you. But there was one thing that even the students We're still told, but you should never stoop to this level. There were certain things those students of the rabbis, even in everything else they would humble themselves to do, when it came to removing or loosing the strap and removing the sandal from the feet of the rabbi, no, a student will not do that. Only the slave will do that. And John says, this Jesus, he is not just my rabbi that I will serve in certain ways. And I am not only in a position of a servant or a slave underneath him. I am not worthy to even be the servant beneath him. Yeah. It's fascinating how many ways we see our relationship to the Lord Jesus described in the scriptures. We are co-heirs with Jesus. We are not only his servants, but we are no longer his servants, but his friend, as he declares. And yet there is always this humility to where Paul will say in Romans, we present ourselves before him as our Lord, and we are servants before him. And there are ways in which our humility is expressed, so that even we who have been exalted to be co-heirs with Christ still see him exalted beyond any relationship in this human world could be described as. That can all be true at the same time. We can be both humble and exalted. We can be servants and rulers with him. The trick becomes, or the sticky part begins when you say, okay, I'll be one, and that excludes the other. John says, there is one who you do not know. And he's already said twice in this passage, he did not know him. But one whom God had declared to him, you will prepare the way, and him the strap of his sandal, you are not worthy to untie. I think this also can be part of the proclamation of baptism today. So often, baptism is viewed and seen within the church, again, either as your personal salvation or the victorious work of Christ, all of that to be true. But what about saying, this is the Lord Jesus whom I am serving, and I am not worthy to be his servant. And yet he beckons me to be united with him. Grace upon grace that we find in baptism. Thirdly, John was sent to baptize with water by God himself in order to see the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. You see it in verse 33. John the Baptist says, as John writes about him, I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John's baptism was not only a baptism of repentance, it was a baptism of identification. And he struggled with this a little bit. I'm going to read from a passage later on, actually here in just a moment, about this. Matter of fact, let me read it now. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. See, in John's gospel, we see this very thing referred to, but not the narrative of it happening. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Let me read that again. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River to John to be baptized by him. Verse 14, I think, highlights the one who thinks, I am not worthy to unloose his sandal. John would have prevented him by saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Now, I love the way John says this. He feigns no reformed humility here. He doesn't say, no, I will not do it. You can't. No. I am just a worm. He would have prevented him. But he will be obedient to him. It's a little bit of that humility, but also the understanding of what Jesus does for us. And dear friends, if you are a believer today and you think, I have no right to bother the Savior of the world with my burdens, my difficulties, I'm not going to do that. No. Look at John. Who said, look, yeah, I'm not worthy, but if you tell me to, I'm going to do it. And our Lord tells us to come to him in prayer. He tells us to lay our burdens upon him. He tells us to trust him. He bids us come to the most holy of holy places, into his very presence. We don't deserve it, but he says, come. And so, dear believer, come to him. Draw near to him. John says, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. And that may cause plenty of other mystery in our minds too. What exactly did that mean? Well, we're about to see it. It's why John said in John's gospel, John the Baptist said, I didn't even know him, but I was sent in order that he would be revealed to Israel. I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And the passage I've been reading from Matthew 3 and verse 16 says this. Well, verse 15 ends this way. So John consented to baptize Jesus. Verse 16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Don't you love reading these things about John's baptism? I didn't even know him, but I've been called to be the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. And he who sent me to baptize with water did so that we might see revealed to us the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus comes to him and says, baptize me. And John, like any of us, would be like, I don't think this is the order of things here. I'm not worthy to even remove your sandal from you. And Jesus says, do it. And we see revealed from heaven that Jesus is the Son of the living God. This is why John was baptizing. And dear friends, our baptism also is about identifying Christ Jesus as the one whom God has sent. And God has revealed this is his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. And we also, as we are baptized, cry out, I am pleased in his Son. He is the Son of the living God. Fourth and final thing, and I just showed you my hand. Through John's baptism, God has revealed that Jesus is the Son of God. We saw it in Matthew 3:17, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And in John 1:34, we see, And I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God. Surely our baptisms today are recognition of this as well. And dear friends, I want to close with just a couple of questions for each of us. Have you seen and realized that Jesus is the Son of God? That He is the beloved Son with whom the Father is well pleased? Have you recognized, even as you see that we have no right to Him, we have no connection with Him of our own works, of our own abilities, of our own stature? We're not ones who just gather and be like, I want to learn of Him. I want to learn from Him. I want to learn all about Him as a student so that I may attain where He is. No. He's not just a rabbi and we are disciples alone. This is completely different. This is the Son of the living God. And we're not just to grovel as His servants. We're lower than that. And yet, He is the Son of God. And John chapter 3 and verse 16 will tell us about His Son. That God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We studied on Wednesday night from John 1 verse 16. Tim led us a couple weeks ago. For from His fullness we have all received grace that replaces a lesser grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Dear friends, if you come to know that grace through Jesus, we celebrate today. We celebrate what He has done, who He is. And dear friends, that celebration isn't just one that we remember as a fond time, but it gives us strength to tell others about Him, to bear witness, just like John did. This is the Son of the living God. Let's pray.